Hey Jack, you know what I love the most about doing these podcasts?
What's that?
Is that we literally do the MMA hour at least once a week or everyday hour once a week, right? Mm. But a lot of stuff goes down within the space of a week within the UFC and Fight Spear. Do you agree?
Literally, as soon as we've uploaded a podcast, then there's like the next thing for us to like talk about for the following one. Sometimes I wish we did two a week, but it just means that each podcast we do is just like stacked, you know, just like the UFC cards.
Literally, there's so much we can talk about within the space of one podcast, but then literally through the week while we're going about doing our duties, you're doing your work, I'm doing my work, so much literally gets announced and so much literally happens.
Well, that's why you always have to stay on our social media, because we post a lot of stuff. We post a lot of stuff on Instagram, like highlight reels and any fights coming up, or if there's any injuries and people pull out. To be honest, like sometimes we do predominantly do the MMA hour, but like, I'm not going to lie, I really enjoy doing the everyday hour and making all the clips. Like the one last week when I was talking about like how if I have a monster, you know, it's like 54 seconds and I'm going to go, you know, take a dump in my pants.
Once you take your first sit, the countdown starts.
Oh, exactly. What one's that? That one's green.
This is the Paradise. But I think it's called Ultra Paradise. It's like a lemon lime sort of flavor.
Yeah.
So it's good. I mean, there's only three that I drink. I drink the orange one, which is the sunrise one, the white one, and this green one is the paradise one. Mm. This is the recent one. It came out only just, I think, last year.
Sure. All right. So I want to get into something really cool. And first we had the card today, which was Edgar versus Munoz. But first of all, I want to talk about some news that just came up in the last half an hour or so, which was Tony Ferguson is being booked for fighting against Dustin Poirier. This is most likely going to be, so whatever happens with the winner of Khabib versus
Gaethje,
whatever happens there will fight the winner of this fight. Obviously, you know, it's such a good fight. This is a fight for the fans.
Mate, I am so hyped for this fight because, one, Dustin Poirier has made significant leaps in his career these past couple of years, okay? He's probably one of the best lightweight...
One of the best boxers in, you know, in the UFC, actually.
Not even that, but he's fucking tough as nails.
Yeah.
He's one of those fighters where people just love to watch. His fight against Dan Hooker, which we watched, that will go down in history. I remember when he was up against the cage, he would just eat 11 shots.
Well, it looks like Dan Hooker, after his fight, when they said, you know, after his loss, he went, I want to get straight back in there, I want Tony Ferguson. Looks like Dan Hooker doesn't have a partner now.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love for Conor McGregor to come back anytime soon. I just don't see it happening until there's an actual crowd.
Yeah, I totally will actually agree with that. But to see Dan Hooker, he's still in the top five of the lightweight division.
Yeah.
I
think he's number six.
Yeah,
he's number
six. Roughly around. So, no, he's number five.
Is he?
He's number five. So, there's still, again, lightweight is the most stacked division in the world. He might be able to fight the loser. That's what I can say.
Yeah.
But who loses between Ferguson and Poirier? He might fight, because my pick is, well, Dustin Poirier versus Tony Ferguson. Well, it's hard to choose, because I like them both. I like a lot of people in the lightweight division. It's my favorite division, I say all the time.
Lightweight would be my favorite as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, but not even that, but we got two major fights. Gaethje versus Khabib, which everyone's kind of been waiting for, and Ferguson versus Poirier. Now, the issue is that people have is Tony Ferguson was the biggest threat to Khabib's reign, right? People were saying for ages, Khabib is not...
He was going to be stylistically good enough to pose threats to Khabib and poke some games on the ground that a lot of people... You know, the big strength in Khabib's game is that ground and pound, that savage ground and pound where, you know, he really ties up your legs. You can't do anything about it. Whereas, you know, we've seen quite well that, you know, Ferguson has always worked so well off his back because he has a black belt in Nogi Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu right under, you know, a big predominant BJJ
mm-hmm.
Father, which would be Eddie Bravo.
Yeah. The issue though, is when it comes to the UFC, it's just like the styles will beat certain fighters, but not others. Mm. Like the biggest argument people are having right now about the triangle between Gaethje, Ferguson, and Khabib, but mm-hmm. is basically that Gaethje can beat Ferguson, but Ferguson could possibly beat Khabib. But everyone believes that Khabib is going to smash through Gaethje. Well, if you think about it, Tony Ferguson's style was the style that rivaled Khabib, because Khabib, that was the most cursed fight in UFC history. Was it four, five times?
I think this was the fifth time it got cancelled.
Yeah. The first time it got, one of the first times it got cancelled was due to injury. And now the second one was due to Tony Ferguson losing his knee. One
was tripped over a stray wire or something like that.
Yeah, they didn't fight previously because Khabib was in Russia and he couldn't get out of Russia because of coronavirus.
And then, you know, to be honest, a lot of people were probably hoping that Gaethje lost.
Yes.
Because they really wanted to see Tony versus Khabib. And it's one of those fights, because there's been plenty in MMA, especially in the UFC, there's been fights where you really hope that this is going to happen, but some of them have just been plagued with them never actually materializing. And it's really sad because you and I were so keen for that
fight. Oh, yeah. We were talking about it for ages. We were saying, like, bro, this fight is cursed.
I know.
It's like the UFC gods just don't want to see Khabib.
To be honest, and I love Dustin Poirier as well. I think it's a tough fight for either gentleman. You know, it's an amazing fight to have, because we've had some incredible fights in the lightweight division so far this year, even during COVID. But I think just like Justin Gaethje, a lot of people are going to count out Dustin Poirier or hope that he loses, because if this GSP thing doesn't happen with Khabib, they so hope that Khabib and Tony is Khabib's last fight or whatever, you know? Yeah. That it happens at some point, because the MMA gods are really trying to throw all kinds of shit in the way of this fight. Honestly, they're throwing everything at these guys. You know, they throw fucking COVID, they throw
torn ACLs.
Injuries, torn ACLs. Like, it's, stylistically, Tony did have some weapons that could pose a threat for Khabib. You know, but then there's Justin now, who's acting in this less, and he hated being called reckless, but some of his game plan was that reckless. It was, it was to take two, to throw one hard shot and take him out.
That even Justin's corner was saying to corner head coach was saying to him, look, dude, slow the fuck down. You're trying to kill him in there, okay? Take your time with your shots.
Well, I want to talk about that as well, because this is a good side into someone who won the UFC lightweight championship a long time ago, which was Frankie Edgar. And he won today against Pedro Munhoz. Now, that was a very competitive fight. I had some other people that have MMA podcasts reached out to me and said, I think it was a really good fight, but I really picked Pedro winning. I thought it was probably, maybe 3-2 to Frankie Edgar. I felt that one was really close. Then there was round two, and maybe round five goes to Frankie. And then four and five were a bit edgy as well. But I think in number four, that's where Pedro really, really showed. I got to see what I saw from the fight. Was, and when you watch it back, you'll notice that Pedro's coaches told him to stop doing the same thing that Gaethje did, was to take a couple shots, to throw some hard hits to try and run after him and chase after his head to knock him out. And they said, just chill. Stop trying to throw everything into it. Stop loading up in your shots, because he's going to see them, right? And that's when he started to touch him. That's when he started to touch him a little bit more. It just didn't work by the time it got to the round five. It wasn't working at that point. A lot of these fighters, they're trying to run at them, trying to knock them out, and sometimes it just doesn't work out in his favor. And I think that's what happened with Pedro. Pedro did such a good job. We know he's got knockout power because he fought against Cody Garbrandt, and he's got a solid chin. The amount of shit that Frankie threw at him. Frankie looked great, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how old he is? 38. He's 38 years 38. Old.
I would say around, I was going to guess around that age, because he's been fighting for quite a while now.
That was his 18th win.
18th win.
In the UFC, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's been in three different divisions now. He's been in the top five. So he's beat Pedro, so now he's going to take the top five spot, the number five spot. So that means he's been number five in bantamweight, featherweight, and lightweight. I'm not going to lie, a lot of people were thinking that this was going to be his last fight if he lost, but, you know, it was a very competitive fight, especially against a younger and most likely stronger competitor. I honestly thought he looked really good, especially for 38 years old.
Yeah, especially since the last five losses, the last five fights, three of them were losses. Two of them are really, really big names, Max Holloway and Brian Ortega.
Absolute beasts.
Killers, yeah.
Absolute beast in the featherweight division. Yeah. Fair play to Frankie Edgar. I hope he gets another fight very soon, because, to be honest, we watched the Stipe fight not that long ago, last week. He was 37, and Daniel Cormier was 41. How good did both of them look?
A lot of old dogs are really kicking it in the, kicking it right now in the UFC. But one thing I want to say about Frankie Edgar...
Yoel Romero, for one.
...is that he dropped to bantamweight, right? He beat someone in the top five, you know?
He was unranked.
There you go.
Frankie messed up those rankings because he was unranked. Good. I have no idea where Pedro's going to go now, you know?
Well, here's the thing. Where does that make him stand in the rankings?
I think if you beat number five, you become number five. I think so.
Okay. I think
if you beat number five, you become number five. The issue is, where does Pedro go? Because Pedro can't go to an unranked spot.
Yes.
Does he jump down one or two spots?
Does he move the division out?
Does he move some people in the division, things like that? You know, if there is any questions about where he is ranked, then have him fight another fight again soon. We've got some really good fights coming up, and, you know, the UFC is doing a lot of good things.
Let's talk about him. Okay. Let's talk about there's a lot of big elephants in the room.
We predicted it. We predicted on our last podcast. Yep. We threw a lot of names out there, and we said, we think that Jones will most likely move up because his trainer actually said, we're bulking him up to heavyweight. He's going to go fight maybe Stipe or Ngannou. He had a bit of beef on Twitter with Ngannou, but he really wants that GOAT status with Stipe. And I mentioned that he was going to vacate the light heavyweight belt, have Reyes and it's not Jan actually, it's Jan. Jan Blachowicz.
Yeah, because he's Polish.
Polish fighter.
Yeah, yeah.
For them to fight out, and he was going to then drop down and reclaim that belt. You know, it's not the first time he's reclaimed his light heavyweight belt before. I don't think he would be opposed to doing it again.
Yeah, I mean, now we've got Dominic Reyes fighting for the belt. I reckon
you love Dominic Reyes.
I love him. Well, the reason why is because, like, you know, out of all the fights, I'm just like, man, I felt so bad for him. But the one thing that made me respect him so much was the way that he took that loss.
Mm.
He just shrugged his shoulders and said, oh, well, at the end of the day, it is what it is.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when I know a lot of fighters, if that was that situation, especially in a title shot, and they lose, especially in a such controversial way, they would, a lot of them get pissy. You know what I mean?
Pissy.
Yeah, they will get pissy. You've seen fighters who aren't happy with the decision get mad. Like, do you remember Dominic Cruz? Like, for example, when Dominic Cruz lost to Henry Cejudo?
That wasn't so much a judge thing, it was like a referee thing.
But yeah, there you go.
It's the same kind of concept, like, for them to be angry for, like, a little bit, mm-hmm. and then for them to cool off and be like, hey, it is what it is, I'll come back, and I'll show everyone wrong.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. But who's your pick from a more objective standpoint? Who's going to win between Blachowicz and Reyes?
Well, one thing I want to note is that Reyes actually said in an interview that, you know, Jan is actually a tougher fight for him than Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree. I think Jones is a much tougher fight.
Here's one question I've got to ask you, though.
Oh, wait, don't you want to...
Go on.
Answer the first one. Yeah. I think Reyes edges it out just because Jan has crazy power. It was a really good fight because we watched that with Luke Rockhold live at the pub. That was a really good fight to see as well. I feel like Jan is a top contender. However, Reyes, he's gone those championship rounds with the light heavyweight goat, and I think that speaks volumes for how good that guy is, especially as an athlete, because we know from his background and his history as an athlete, he really does have that athletic ability to perform in those later rounds as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this next question I've got to ask you. Why is it Dominic Reyes versus Jan Błachowicz and not Dominic Reyes versus Thiago Santos, because Thiago Santos is ranked number two? Or is it still out because of injury?
To be honest, I don't know. I think it could be his injury, because he injured his leg pretty significantly, and I think they're really just trying to move the division as quick as possible, because I don't think Thiago is that vocal on social media, whereas Dominic Reyes and Jan Błachowicz is or are. So that means, you know, they've already got started up a little bit of hype for themselves. They've already got their name relevant and in the news and the media. I feel like Thiago Santos doesn't really do that. You know what? Just let Jan and Dominic fight it out. Thiago hasn't fought in such a long time. Has it been like 2 years?
Something like that.
A good fight.
He's a good fighter, because the thing is, those high rankings, like the top five spots, don't do anything, it kind of stagnates the division. You've got to keep the ball rolling, you know what I mean? It's like lightweight. It doesn't have Conor in there anymore, but they don't need him anymore, because the lightweight has now got its own personalities. Moving over to light heavyweight, if Santos comes back, he could either fight Glover Teixeira or Teixeira.
Teixeira,
sorry. Or he could fight the winner of Anthony Smith versus who's he fighting? Alexander Rakic.
Oh yeah.
So either way, it's he's got to come back. Otherwise, you know, the rankings are gonna be all jumbled around.
Well, I was watching the post-fight conference today. It was interesting to listen to what the reporters actually said to Dana. And they went and said to Dana, you know, I think what's his name? Is it Scott Coker? The guy that is the ambassador or the president of Bellator. I think he's more of an ambassador for Bellator, right? He went and said, we have the best light heavyweight division out there in the world. And Dana quickly shot that down, saying, you know, that's seriously not true, because any of your fighters in the light heavyweight division, we've let go of. You know, they've now recently acquired Corey Anderson. And to be honest, I wanted to talk about, and we posted on our social media, Vadim Nemkov, I believe the underdog, actually beat Ryan Bader. He, in the round two, he knocked him out. And the reason, how he actually did that was, He came up high with a right leg kick, shin hit head. He's stumbling. Ryan Bader. To be honest, it was kind of a bad stoppage. I'll be honest. If you watch that back, how much punishment Bader got near the end, he really. I question that stoppage. Actually, you know, I'd like you to actually watch it back a little bit, because I question what happened with that ref, because it looked like Bader wasn't really near the end, like, protecting himself. And it looked like he came to, tried to get up, ran away, and then he got dropped again, got hit with a couple more bombs, and then he waved it off. I feel like it went at least a minute too long than it should have.
Oh, yes, now I remember that. Yeah, he was literally on the ground. He was literally trying to get up. He wasn't protecting himself that much.
He managed to get up, but then he got hit by a bomb.
He tried to run away as well. So he legit was pretty much, like, took a whole bunch. I remember that. He was eating, like, a whole bunch of shots, and then the referee literally didn't do anything about it until he got knocked down again, and then he literally had to go limp. That guy pretty much, I remember watching it on the Instagram, seeing a whole bunch of people commenting, thanks, man, he just lost 5 years of his life. So.
Nah, dude. Sometimes it's questionable with some of those refs, like, I don't know, I feel like, it felt like it was a bit too late.
Yeah.
And it is difficult sometimes to be a ref, because, you know, if you get an early stoppage, then, and it's quite obvious, then you know, you get shat on by everyone, including the fighter, and then when it's too late...
Yeah, but at the end of the day, the thing is, refs kind of really need to protect the fighters from themselves. Mm. You see a lot of it at the time, it's that the refs know that that fighter is not... Some of them are just absolute warriors. They would rather die in the ring than go down.
I'll bring up this example, Anthony Smith.
There you go. Yeah.
What was your take on it?
What, the stoppage?
Because he's literally telling his corner man, my teeth are falling out.
Yeah, I literally would say that was a very late stoppage. Yeah. He should have knocked, when he got knocked down the first time, and he was...
Was that against Glover Teixeira?
Are we talking about the most previous fight?
The Anthony Smith.
Anthony Smith fight versus...
Carry on, I'm going to check. Okay. But I believe it was with him.
The past Bellator fight,
it was against Glover Teixeira.
Yeah. Talking about the Vandenberg fight, the fact that he got knocked down, and then the fact that he was getting punched like multiple times after like four or five punches, and you're not protecting yourself like he was, like he wasn't. Yeah, stop the fight straight away.
When you're trying to squirm and protect yourself, go over your back, roll over, then try and get up, run away. You know, but some of these things are... Remember Tony Ferguson, it was called a TKO, when he was visibly taking shots, but started to back away a good bit, and he was taking stuff and he wasn't protecting himself that much.
Yeah.
But it's a very different scenario, you know, when you're taking punishment and visibly running away from your opponent because the ref isn't stopping it. You know, a lot of these guys are warriors and they will die on their sword if need be.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough job being a ref. It really is, because, you know, in any case, unless you get it perfectly right and you stop it within those things, you know, everyone will say something negative and say, you know, should have been stopped earlier, should have been stopped later. You know, you've cost that guy a win bonus and his legacy, or you've cost him 5 years on his life. Mm-hmm. It is rough being a ref. Mm-hmm. You know,
It's probably one of the hardest jobs
To be honest, I don't think they get paid enough.
So they get a lot of respect, the good ones.
They get respect, but I think you only get $1,000 or $2,000 every one. That's not really...
Really? Do you think Big John McCarthy makes them? I reckon he makes quite a lot. Well, he's because retired. He promotes Bellator a lot.
He's retired now. Yeah. Big John's retired now. The other ones you could think of is maybe... I think Dan Megliotta, Herb Dean,
Steve Masagagi.
No, he's retired.
He's the one of the bad ones, yeah.
Oh, there's I actually saw a picture of Mario Yamasaki, an old ref from the UFC. Mm-hmm. You'll remember him from doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, like that. So you can actually see it in front of the mic. I don't know how old he is. He is like an older gentleman now, because he looks very different now that he's not actually reffing now. He doesn't look the same anymore. Mm. There was... I'll have to bring it up, but like, he doesn't look the same. Mm. There was something going on. I'm not too sure. Anyway, but like... It is the hardest, and what I was trying to make is that it's a very stressful job being a ref. I don't think they're compensated as much. I don't know. That's something that we'd have to ask the viewers and things like that. You know, do you actually think that they're compensated enough? Do you think that the level of training that they have is enough and things like that? Because a lot rides on their shoulders, and it can't be easy being a ref, especially when you've got the amount of respect as Herb Dean and things like that, because even though they're considered some of the best, especially by a lot of commentators, you know, they still fuck up naturally.
So there was one thing I also wanted to talk about since we're on the topic of the light heavyweight division. One of the fighters who's fighting for the light heavyweight, Jan Błachowicz, right? Mm-hmm. He's one of his most recent fights from, I think it was last year, was against Luke Rockhold, and he knocked him out. I think it was in the second or the third round.
Second round, because in the first round, I remember he just caught him over the top with a leg kick, and he dropped. Luke was wobbled. The round finishes. Luke gets up, walks back to his corner. Then they engage again in the second round, and Jan just hits him left foot, Larry, and just fucks him up.
So since then, Luke Rockhold has not fought again.
He says he wants to fight again. He's wants to fight Chris again. Weidman.
Yeah. Ooh, he wants to fight. He wants to go back to middleweight.
No, because Chris is at light heavyweight now.
Really?
Yeah, remember his last fight was at light heavyweight.
Oh, I see. He moved up,
remember.
That would be a good fight. I was going to ask what's next for him. That would be a good fight.
Luke Rockhold, to be honest, Luke Rockhold is an absolute beast of a fighter. He's obviously got one of the most impressive physiques out there, yeah. To be honest. He's a very athletic guy. I think
he was like the model boy of the UFC, basically. I mean, he pretty much would do like ads for like men's hair and men's skincare and men's watches and what was the other thing.
He was doing a lot of modeling and things like that.
Yeah, I think he dated Demi Lovato as well.
Did he?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he did. Hold on.
Anyway, well, to be honest, I don't know what fight is out there. No names are really coming. You know, I couldn't really recall at this point, but don't call out Luke Rock. Don't think so little of him because he is still a beast, especially with a bit of extra weight on him. Also, he did date.
Yeah, I think they broke up, but that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah. I don't even know how that happens.
I only like found out about a few weeks recently. Oh. I don't know. It was weird.
Anyway,
back to the topic of conversation.
All right. Actually, because typically we're an MMA podcast, but we do mention a little bit of boxing. Now,
yes,
it was Alexander Povetkin versus Dillian White. Now, he knocked him out in the fifth round. Now, I'm going to just jump on our Instagram again quickly because I want to show you that knockout one more time.
Yeah, guys, if you're not following us on Instagram, you're missing out on some quality content, by the way.
Yeah.
So follow us at The Last Set.
Yeah, so I'm going to jump on our Instagram because I want to show you. Oh, there's a good hit from Frankie hitting Pedro.
Very clean.
To be honest, I want you to rewatch that fight because I'll rewatch back that fight as well because the first time you're watching it, I was noticing how quick Frankie was as a 38-year-old, you know? All right, quickly coming over. Oh, so it's had about 224 views.
So right now we're just watching the knockout from the recently Dillian White versus Alexander Povetkin.
Yeah.
So one thing I love about this knockout was how clean and slick this fighter is.
There you go.
Oof, 1-2, slip, hits him in the cross.
No, it was an uppercut.
Was it an uppercut?
It might be a little bit too green. Wait. Let it buffer a little bit. He was out.
He's gone.
Out like a light. Go again.
Two, slip, uppercut. Well done. Uppercut. This guy's really impressive. He's 40 as well. He's got 36 wins, 25 of those KOs. He's only had 2 losses on his record.
Yeah.
So he's, oh man, he's a potential, he's a threat to that heavyweight division.
To be honest, I, like many other people, didn't choose who was going to win out of that fight. However, I did notice that on social media, Dillian White was posting a lot of pictures of him running and his physique. He looked really good ahead of this fight. You know, I didn't expect it to end in such a devastating fashion, but to be honest, Alexander Povetkin, he stopped him in such a vicious way in the first round. It just proved power and accuracy was too much for that guy.
Uh-huh. That's right. I believe at the time he was a champion of one of the divisions, of one of the belts, and he lost his belt to Anthony Joshua.
Mm.
I believe he lost one of them. That's one of his last losses. But since then, you know, he's still going. And for a man in his 40s, who's like 40, and he has that devastating knockout power, that's still really impressive.
Well, a lot of the time when they say with boxing, speed and your endurance and that kind of aerobic ability kind of fades as you age. But the last thing to leave is the power. That physical strength that they have, that's the last one to leave. Especially these boxers that have been, you know, training to be at the peak of their athletic performance for such a long period of time. Naturally, that power sticks around for a good period of time. Yeah. So I want to also mention something because we talked about Reyes leaving Blackovich, and it seems like all we're talking about is the fucking light heavyweight division. But John Jones has moved up to heavyweight. Now, he's talked over the phone and he's over the UFC and he's heard promising things. Now, he's went and said that, you know, he believes he is an absolute threat to that division. And he's looking, because he's cleaned up the light heavyweight division, you know, and now he's looking to clean up the heavyweight division. What do you think should be his next opponent?
I'm thinking the same thing. I mean, just who's good? But the thing is, there's a lot of good names in heavyweight. I mean, the three that stand out the most that I would like to see James fight first would either be either Rozenstruike, Curtis Blaydes, or Alistair Overeem. I think those three are the most
possible. You think he should have a little warm-up fight before fighting Ngannou, or...
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. You...
To be honest, if you're bulking up that much to go up to heavyweight, because he is a longer frame kind of guy that uses those long limbs, you know...
Here's the other thing. What's the rush? John Jones is still very young. You know what I mean?
What is the rush? He's 30...
No, I think he's in his just 30.
31, 32.
He's still young. He's still got plenty of time. The reason why he's not done this stuff already was because at the end of the day, his biggest enemy is himself, basically. He probably would... There's a lot of argument about who the number one is in the UFC, the pound for pound greatest.
Yeah.
I reckon John Jones would have been absolute definite pound for pound greatest if it wasn't for all those things that happened previously, all the allegations, all the crime, all the failed drug testing. And in that time, he was still fighting, still clearing out the division. If that was the case, he would have already been in heavyweight like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
That's my take.
Because he's spoken about going to heavyweight for you know, a number of years. It's good to see that he's actually going, there's nothing more for me to prove, right? To be honest, that Reyes fight was his closest fight. However, notoriously, he's never been afraid of a rematch because he's always done so much better, right? If it's not by the, you know, when it was against Cormier, won by decision, has the rematch, knocked him out. Won by decision against Alexander Gustafsson, knocked him out, right? When has he ever been afraid to come back for a rematch? Never, right? So like we said in the last podcast, and you should check it out on our social media, we said he is a nightmare for rematches, right? He doesn't have anything to prove. It's great that we're seeing him go up to heavyweight. I do think he needs a warm-up fight to get them those heavyweight rounds in before he fights someone at such a high caliber in that particular weight class, like Stipe and Ngannou and things like that. He's beat Daniel Cormier, right? Right, who is obviously one of the best heavyweights out there, right? But I would suggest he has a fight, like you said, against a known heavyweight like Alistair Overeem or Rozenstruike. The Rozenstruike would be an excellent fight for John Jones to warm up for, I think. You know, Rozenstruike just coming off a loss with Francis Ngannou.
And then wins. Back,
excellent power. I think a lot of people were expecting Rozenstruike to have similar power to Francis Ngannou. That's why them finding each other during COVID was such a big spectacle. You know, a lot of people just weren't expecting Ngannou just a fucking steamroll. You know,
good times ahead. Another great fight we've got to talk about coming up is Kobe Covington versus Tyrone Woodley.
Yeah, so that was confirmed not that long ago that was going to happen. Is this the third time that they've maybe negotiated it?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. This fight would have been so much better if it was Kobe Covington fighting for the title. Like I say again, time and time again, I love big personalities. I'm a fan of Kobe Covington.
I'm a fan too.
Well, I'm not really a big fan of his Bang Energy Instagram videos. No. That is the most awkward shit in the world.
Nah, him having the girls at the front a bit awkward just because, like, you know, they're getting paid. There was a thing that they were talking about. Do you know Brendan Schaub? He's got the series called The Food Truck Diaries where has MMA or boxing, anything fight related, right? He has them on. And he actually brought, you know, two of his, you know, whatever, paid females out there at the front with them, you know, holding with them. And I think behind the scenes, he went and told them to do something, and they were like, nah, let's not, we're not doing that, hey. So it's funny to have these little snippets of behind the scenes on how he actually properly acts. I think he's got a great personality for the UFC.
Oh, yeah.
And to be honest, it's very brave because to purposely produce a negative persona for yourself so that you can guarantee that big money in those big fights.
But you've got to walk the walk.
You've got to walk the walk, and you've certainly got to talk the talk, especially when, to be honest, a lot of people say he's actually a very reasonable guy. He's a very nice guy. So for you to make such a polarizing negative persona for yourself and, you know, cook it up and cook up all these lines to say, they're very funny, by the way, you know, calling out everyone nerds and virgins and things like that. No, he's a funny character, right? He's really, really funny. But to be honest, it can't be easy waking up knowing that I've got to stick to this role in order to guarantee I get these big money fights. Plus, he's got to perform through even more pressure than he would have had if he was his normal self.
And it's not good to be doing that much shit talking, especially when you're coming off a loss, especially when it was for the title.
Oh, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He
doesn't care. It could be detrimental to your reputation. It will be really detrimental to your reputation.
He doesn't care.
The fans themselves might not want to watch.
To be honest, Tyron's coming off two losses now, and I was watching a promo for it the other day, and a lot of people were saying, you know, this is kind of do or die for Tyron Woodley because he's having two losses. You know, give him credit. Tyron Woodley's lost to Kamaru Usman, and he's lost to Gilbert Burns, right?
Yeah.
Two of the best in the welterweight division for, you know, a long time, right? A lot of people are saying this is do or die for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he must win this fight. This is two coming off two losses now. He must win this. It's lit a fire under his ass, I think.
Well, it's a do or die for both of them because they're both off coming off losses, right? They both had a shot at the title. One's a former champion. The other one had lost a shot at the title. They both lost to the same guy, Kamaru Usman. So, you know, if one of them wins, it's good they go back up. But if the other one loses, they fall further from grace. Mm. So that's the thing. Now, Tyron Woodley is a very humble guy, you know, we love it. He's very respective, and Colby Covington, you know, his people are now tuning into him. He had his one shot at fame, because if he beat Kamaru Usman, he would basically establish himself as such a high status within the UFC. But now he's kind of lost that. Now he's kind of trying to rebuild that, stay relevant, you know what I mean? Because
a win over Tyron would be a really big feather in his cap, though.
Yeah.
It really would.
So that's why if Colby Covington beats Tyron Woodley like he's been calling out him previously, then he might get to, you know, move up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because one fight I would love to see is Jorge Masvidal versus Colby Covington.
That would be such a good... I don't know why they haven't set that up already.
Yeah.
That would be such a... I think they might be more inclined to set up the Leon Edwards versus Jorge Masvidal in the future. I really do think that could be a possible one to put out there because Leon Edwards, everyone in the top five except for him has got a fight lined up, right? You know, Kamaru, Gilbert Burns, everyone's kind of tied up at this point except for him. I'd really like to see Jorge get back into it, fight Leon Edwards. They can totally build that up because, you know, Leon Edwards got, you know, the three-piece in the soda behind the scenes.
Oh, after, yeah.
Do you want an interview?
Tell the viewers about the story.
So it was after he... This was the fight before Ben Askren, right? So who did... I'm blanking on the name. Who did he fight? Was this against Darren Till?
I think so.
Yes. They were on the same card because Darren Till was arguing with Leon Edwards, who was the best in the UK. Okay. So after Jorge had a big press tour, beat Darren Till by knocking him out, in quite a vicious way, actually, knocking him out. Then he's doing an interview, you know, behind the scenes post-fight, and they're asking him questions, and Leon's going out there and saying, he's saying some stuff like, to fight him in the future and things like that, and Jorge's like, yep. And I think Leon's walking towards him. Jorge's walking there with the hands behind his back, which means, you know, he's not doing anything. He's not instigating a fight or anything like that. And I think Leon Edwards put his hands up as if he was to engage in a fight. Now, Jorge comes from an environment where he's very prone to being getting involved with scraps.
Oh, with people.
He's got that danger kind of survival instinct that's like, you do that, I'm going to hit you before you even think you're about to hit me, and I'm going to bolt out of there. And that's what he did. Hit him with the three-piece in the soda. Bare knuckle as well. And then he just popped out of there. You know, a lot of people were expecting that in the UK that could have been a legal issue, because you're not in America, you're in the UK now. Mm-hmm. It would be a different kind of legal problem.
Especially when you're a resident and visiting the country.
Exactly. It might also hurt the UFC's reputation a little bit. However, I think the UFC actually squashed that and made sure that didn't happen. I think they probably just got Jorge out of there real quick, so they couldn't do anything. Yeah. I think really interesting fight for Jorge. I think the next fight for Jorge is Leon Edwards.
That'd
be a really good fight for him.
So the top five, obviously, one is Gilbert Burns, two is Colby Covington, three is Leon Edwards, four is Jorge Masvidal, and five is Tyron Woodley. So again, yeah, that's why I think Colby Covington it's okay for him to fight Tyron, because he's been waiting for it for a while. Leon Edwards versus Jorge, because it's three versus four. That way, so let's say Colby Covington wins and Jorge beats Leon, there you go, that 3-2 face off.
That fight would be great, and then whoever wins out of that fight fights the winner of Gilbert Burns and Kamaru Usman.
There you go, like so that way, that's the welterweight division lined up for you.
To be honest, dude, the UFC is... We actually thought that COVID was going to mess up a lot of fights, especially... And it really hasn't. It really hasn't. To be honest, I'm really impressed with what the UFC has done, but, you know... Let's run through all the different divisions. There's the flyweight division. You've got Davison Figueroa. He's fighting all different people. We're having Cody Garbrandt drop down to fight that. Excellent fight. Bantamweight division. You know, we've now had Frankie Edgar. We had Pedro Munhoz. We have... who else have we got there? We had Sean O'Malley that was getting built up. Marlon Vera. We have... Who else do we have in the bantamweight division? I'm blanking. Aljamain Sterling. Petr Yan. We've got a lot of fighters out there. Then we've got featherweight division. We've got
Alexander Volkanovski versus Max Holloway. Great fight. Brian Ortega. He's coming back to fight Chen Sung Jung. Finally.
Korean Zombie. Sick. We've got Zabit.
He's the dark horse of that division.
I honestly think Zabit is the absolute... I feel like Zabit, he poses the biggest threat to the championship ever.
He's just been creeping up the featherweight division.
Dude, if he's got cardio sorted, dude, I've got to back him. I love what, you know, Australian champions and shit like that. But Zabit, since Zabit jumped into the UFC, I like noticed him right away, and I'm right behind Zabit because he's so great to watch.
He's a very, very high level technical striker, and he's got an crazy amount of fight IQ, and he's not afraid to throw those like really technical strikes, like the spinning back fist or jump off the cage elbows.
I said he was like, if you know, he was like kind of like Khabib's kind of Sambo, kind of Sander style, but much higher level striking ability. I think Zabit poses probably the biggest threat. I would have loved to see Yair Rodriguez, because they both have such high striking abilities, especially in the kicking background, which I'm a huge fan of coming from a Taekwondo background.
I remember the first time you showed me a video of him.
Yeah, I sent you videos of the Zabit, and I showed you in person, and I was like, dude, you need to keep an eye on this guy.
I remember that. It was on the day when we were watching the Conor McGregor versus Khabib fight, and you were like, dude, show me videos, and you show me his highlight reel. I'm like, this guy's crazy good.
I was just watching his training videos and shit like that, and I could see his
highlight reel as well.
And his highlight views, and I was showing, like, he's got such a great striking ability. You know, that moves on to our next topic, which is Ortega vs. Korean Zombie. Now, that's fell through a few times, right?
Yeah, well, finally it's gonna happen now. Like, people have forgotten about how good Brian Ortega is. And that dude is fucking tough as nails.
Oh, he's one of those fighters that will go out on his feet.
There you go. His face after his fight against Max Holloway, he ate a record amount of shots.
Yeah.
He literally just stood there and just like, doctor, stop it. He's like, it's all good. You know what I mean? That guy is a fucking warrior. And that guy earned the respect of absolutely everybody across the division. Since then, he has not fought. Now he's going to fight a guy who's basically been calling him out. And Korean Zombie stands in number 4 of the featherweight division. So it's 2 versus 4. So, again, a little bit of a prediction here. Brian Ortega, Chan Jung-sung, okay? Whoever fights that will probably end up fighting Sabit. Or what we could do is have Max Holloway versus Sabit, right? And then we can have winner of that two face the winner of Brian Song, Chan Jung-sung. Winner of that faces for Alexander Volkanovski. Because one thing we love about Alexander Volkanovski is he is a very, very active fighter. You know, there was a few fighters.
He's trying to be a very active champion. Yeah. Around for a long time.
Yeah, because he knows that his days are numbered, so he's just trying to get in as many as he can to solidify himself in the featherweight division. You know,
just like any fighter, you have a limited amount of time where you can perform at your peak athletic ability. I think Alexander is trying to. There seems to be an advantage with staying active.
Mm-hmm.
To being an active fighter,
mm-hmm.
especially on your climb up to the championship.
Yeah, we spoke about that on the last podcast. Like, Israel Adesanya, he was literally in the division for 1 year until he had his title fight. I think it was just over 1 year.
Was it a year or a year and a half?
Some point.
I think it was a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I'm blanking, but
his climb was so quick.
That's what I'm saying. There seems to be an advantage with staying active,
mm-hmm.
having these continuous kind of training camps, never really ballooning out of shape.
And it's also because it's what the fans want to see. Like, at the end of the day, like, it always comes down to the money because, you know, UFC is a money sport. It's becoming a money sport. And they built up all these characters now. They built up all these personalities, you know. But the people who basically like fund the UFC are the fans themselves, the tickets, the pay-per-views, you know, the countries are letting them in, letting them find stadiums, the promotion, all that sort of stuff comes down to the power of the fans, and it's always going to be what the fans want to see. So if you're, let's say for example, if you're a fighter but you're not a champion but you are loved by the fans, you are very active. And I think that's one of the reasons why Donald Cerrone basically gets so many fights, because he's so active, but because the fans just love to watch him fight.
I think a lot of people respect an active fighter as well.
Yeah.
They
understand the grind they have to go through. Yep. Yeah.
I quickly want to mention something. Now, I know we're an MMA podcast. We talked about it a little bit earlier with boxing and things like that. Oscar De La Hoya, Dana White's favorite pal, he's coming out of retirement aged 47. Now, his last fight was 12 years ago. He's now age 47. I don't know if it's the best move for coming out. I just wanted to mention that Dana White actually said, got asked about Oscar De La Hoya's potential boxing comeback, and this, he went and said, yeah, cocaine's not cheap. So
what is that? Why does he say that?
He just says that Oscar De La Hoya's a bit of a cokehead. Sometimes... I think Dana White's quite quickly to say he's a bit of a twat and a bit of an idiot. He must be on the coke again. You know?
But, you know, he's 47, been out for 12 years. That's over a decade, and you haven't fought, and then you want to go back into boxing. That's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, yeah. Especially being, he was around the featherweight division, wasn't he? So I don't know who's really out there for him to set up a super fight or something like that, because that seems to be his only option at this point.
Yeah, I can't really think of someone who'd be a really good opponent.
There's no one that really comes to mind.
Yeah, well, kind of everyone's sort of focused on the whole Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. Mm-hmm. right now.
That I think it's kind of eclipsed any knowledge of. I don't really see anyone really talking about Oscar De La Hoya coming out of retirement. It seems like,
what division was he?
Featherweight.
Mm-hmm. What was his last fight? Who was his last fight to?
I'll bring it up now because he's had 45 fights, 39 wins, 6 losses. Is that featherweight? Because he's a boxing promoter now. He's an incredible fighter, let's be real. He really is. But his last fight was against Manny Pacquiao.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that was in 2008. Yeah. So, I think that was that by doctor stoppage? I'll have to check. Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, the reason why the Coke thing gets brought up is because, you know, Delahoy was arrested for driving under the influence with alcohol, and he pled not guilty. But then later on, in the following year, in 2019, he was during an investigation of an attempted extortion case. He admitted to have used cocaine early in 2018. So I think Dana White, you know, he's definitely bringing that up, because I think he fucking hates. At one point, Oscar De La Hoya was going to do a boxing fight with Dana White, I'm pretty sure. So pretty sure Dana White just fucking hates his guts. Really hates his guts.
I want to tell a little thing about Dana White. Do you know that guy is notorious poker player?
Yeah.
There are casinos that literally refuse to let him in, that banned him in, because he's literally won so much because he's such a good gambler. Mm. Like, he talks about, I think Joe Rogan talks about it all the time on his podcast.
He talked to David Blaine on his podcast, and that's really interesting. Have you watched that?
Yeah, I want to. It's a very
good podcast. I just quickly want to mention that Joe actually said, you know, he's a very good poker player, and he wins really big, and a lot of the times, I think it was the Palms or something like that. He got banned from there because he won like millions and millions. And he's lost big, but he's won a lot of money. Joe has mentioned that, and David Blaine's going, yeah, he's probably counting cards.
Do you know? Yeah.
he's probably counting cards. And that's from, you know, Mr. Magic Man himself.
Yeah. Oh, I want to tell two things. Mm. Here's one of the issues I have when it comes to gambling, basically, especially at the Crown Casino. It's not controlled. Casinos in general, it is not controlled. Here's why. You go to the pub, right?
Mm.
You got the slot machine. You have another beer, play slots. Eventually, at some point, the barman's going to come over to you, say, hey, man, I'm going to cut you off, right, for your beer. But no one will ever tell you to cut you off for the casino, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then you know what they even do? They fuel the addiction. They invite people back to the casino. Oh, we know you haven't been back to the casino in 6 months. Here's $200 worth of free chips. They go there, play that $200, win big, lose big, you know what I mean? Then they loan people money. Casinos love to fuel that addiction. Anyway, that's one of the issues I have when it comes to casinos, the fact that they do that and they love to fuel the addictions, and they don't have like a regulation on how much you can actually bet or how much you can win or lose.
Yeah.
They don't monitor it because so many people come and go. Mm. Anyway, one thing that I was very impressed with, I still got to listen to the David Blaine podcast, but I saw a clip when he told the story about the dice, the kid with the dice and the crabs table. Did you hear it?
Yeah, yeah.
How impressive is that? Mm. He said he rolled dice on a crabs table like perfectly for like 10 years, right? And then he goes into the casino and he knows exactly how to roll the dice.
Well, he actually said at one point on Crabs, he actually did, I think it's called a fire bet or something like that. Yeah. He got everyone at the table, and this is like a small bet table, but because he did a fire bet or something like that, he won everyone at the table 10 grand each. So yeah, that's a really crazy story. I quickly wanted to bring this up because watching the post-fight press conference today following the Edgar vs. Munoz fight, someone actually asked Dana White, have you been in talks with Michael Chandler and his people? Are you interested in signing him? And Dana said, actually, no, I haven't personally. However, we are very interested in talking to him. We will need to find out the conditions and the little bits of legislation regarding his contract and whether or not we can acquire him or even be in negotiations and talk with him. But he said, I can confirm, you know, we're very interested in Michael Chandler. And we spoke about that on the last podcast. You'll find the clip on our Instagram that out there. And I said, well, we both said that he's a major threat to the UFC's lightweight division. Rightfully so, you should be very interested in Michael Chandler. He's an absolute beast, and I think you should acquire him now while you can.
Get him while he's still fresh. Don't wait this out. Give it on the table.
If he's a freelance fighter, I wouldn't put it past even one championship maybe acquiring him.
And you know what they could do? They could sign him up tomorrow, and his first fight could be Donald Cerrone. Donald Cerrone be like, hell yeah, I'll fucking take him.
Of course he would.
Yeah.
I know I believe he trains with Michael Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think his pals with Michael Johnson, I've seen training footage with them. Let him fight Michael. Where is Michael Johnson in the division? Where is he?
He's not in the top 15.
He's not?
No.
It wasn't that long ago that he was in the top 10.
Yeah, he must have dropped since then.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well, you got to understand, lightweight is a stacked ass division.
Oh, that's a crazy division. Yeah. Just finishing up, because I know we don't have a huge amount of time, because we've talked this is a really stacked podcast today.
A lot of content for people to digest, for sure.
Yeah. This is something that's not really MMA related, but I thought it was really funny, and I wanted to show you.
Okay.
It's never not, you know, a podcast like that. I want you to see this. So this is a common Merganser sea duck.
What?
Now, hear me out. I want you to watch this. Just buffering. All right. Now he's putting him into the water.
A what? A Conor?
Now watch this.
Conor Merganser sea duck. Jesus! What the fuck?
So it's a sea. It's the caption is "Common Merganser sea duck hauling ass." #HashtagHarley. Now they are a sea duck that can run on water. They are that quick that they can zoom.
What's that thing called? Wile E. Coyote. What's the little meat, that little thing that runs?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds
me
of.
That's what it looks like, but it's like the sea version of it, and it just...
This page is crazy, by the way. Nature is garlic. Nature's gnarly. It's a fucking great page.
If you haven't seen it already,
some it's shit. What the fuck? That was
all right, here's another one. The raccoon is fighting an iguana.
Yeah.
And someone's car in the background. What the fuck?
Oh, get the fuck out of here. That iguana's fucked. I didn't even know a raccoon even fights iguanas. He's just fucking digging himself into them.
What the
fuck? Dude, that's like crazy. Look, he's got his back.
He's got his back.
He's got his back.
Oh, he's posting up. He's using a bit of jiu-jitsu. He's controlling his hips.
Yeah.
Very nice. Good.
Oh, fuck. He's
oh, no, but lizards lose their tail.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got him by the neck. He's got him in a naked choke.
Oh, he's like, come here. He's like, come here, mate. You're coming with me.
Oh, he's coming back to the end of the cage. Oh, he's... So it just says he kills. It doesn't look like he's killed him, but...
That's crazy.
Holy shit.
Like, fuck.
Dude. It's insane. It's insane.
Oh, have you seen that one?
I haven't seen this one.
You haven't?
Hung like an elephant. What the fuck?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, come on.
No, I don't want
to. Too inappropriate.
Hung like an elephant sounds like I'm going to see
some swinging elephant dick.
Yeah, I don't want to see any elephant dick. Thanks, Joe.
Okay.
So that...
You want to conclude up on that one? You want to end it there?
Well, yeah. That was insane. I'll see a raccoon fighting. We don't get raccoons there, but raccoons are essentially... They just eat out of the trash. I never thought they would fight big-ass lizards. They must be hungry as fuck. I'm not going to lie. They're kind of like the American version of the ibis or the Australian bin chicken that eats shit out of
the... Australian bin chicken.
Yeah, an ibis. I hate saying ibis on the road.
Yeah.
So we have a thing called an ibis in Australia.
Yeah. It's got like a long
beak that hooks around like that. And they're commonly called... bin chickens because they're gross ass disgusting birds that commonly are eating out of the trash. Yeah, they're a little disgusting.
They have really, really like long beaks and all that. But one of the reasons why they have such long beaks is because they eat worms out of the ground and they use their beak like...
Why?
Yeah, that's why, because they put their beak into the ground. It's firmer enough and then they just pull it out.
Why my Weet-Bix boxes out of my bins?
Then? I don't know. Like, what? Since when you get them here? Do you get them here?
No.
I've never seen them eat
out
of trash.
You haven't posted to the city, though.
No, I've never seen them eat out of trash. I see them all the time at the park, digging their beaks into the ground, trying to get worms. No,
I've seen them eating trash.
I've never seen them eating trash.
They're real bin / trash chickens. All right, trash so that was chickens. A really good podcast today. Talked everything, fighting, like boxing, MMA, threw in some nature shit there. I hope you guys really enjoyed. Anything you want to say, Joe?
I'm just... happy with this pace. Oh, yes. Thank you, guys. By the way, we've officially surpassed 500
views. 500
views
on YouTube. And we now have 300 followers on Instagram. It was 9 days ago that we celebrated our 200 followers. So it's taken us 9 days to acquire 100 followers. That equals to maybe just over 10. What was that? Maybe like 10, 11, 12. Like followers every day.
Yeah.
So that is really good to see. And a lot of the time, you know, if you are a fellow podcaster, things like that, please reach out, because, you know, we've already set up a collaboration in the past that went really well. And we'd love to collaborate with fellow other MMA podcasts. Even if you're not an MMA podcast, to be honest, because we are 50% MMA, 50% non-MMA, please reach out. We'd love to talk to you guys, have a collaboration. It's all fun for us. We really do enjoy it. And we love talking to like-minded individuals, I think. Yeah?
Yeah, and maybe in the future, you know, we're going to start getting people on this podcast. Yeah,
I'd love to get guests. I want us to upgrade some equipment, and we're going to post that up on social media when we do get that. I want to get rid of this table. I want us to have a small table down here. I want rid of the seats. I want couches. We're going to have a lighting set up. We're going to have the audio set up. We're going to have the similar to what our friends at the For a Laugh podcast have.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to do that. You know, I've really enjoyed
You know what today. I want to do? I want to get, like how they got all this shit on the table, all this cool stuff. I want to start getting cool stuff and put it on our table.
We might have to put it in the middle bit. If we got a small coffee table, we could do that.
That'd be cool.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. To those that do support the podcast, especially if we do know you personally, we really do appreciate it. If we don't know personally, thank you very much. It's incredible how much support we have, especially since a lot of them come from America. We have people from India, Bangladesh,
yeah,
Georgia. We have a lot of people around the world, predominantly not even Australian. So thank you so much, guys, and we really do appreciate it. We honestly, you know, we're grateful for every bit of success along the way. You know, we really are just trying to put out a lot of good content. Yeah, we try and engage with you guys. If you have any questions for us, please put in the description or reach out to Joe, myself, or even on the Last Set Podcast Instagram.
We just celebrate the small wins. You know, it's the small wins each day that build up to a big success. We love to do that. Like, we love progress. We're seeing it. Yeah. We're just going to celebrate small progress.
We're quite addicted to, like, seeing progress and things like that. I don't think we mind taking it slow or not getting the progress we want sometimes, although we are seeing good progress. But it's more, we don't want to stagnate. We want to keep growing, keep engaging with our followers and things like that. Yeah. Thank you so much, guys.
Take care, man. All the best.
Thanks, guys. Bye.